The fifth reading opens with a discussion of how we set the Mishkan up. And we hear about the outer chamber, the inner chamber, the curtain that divides between the two. Chapter 26, verse 31, V'yasisa faroiches techeles v'agomen v'sala ashoni v'sheish mashzor. Moshe Rabbeinu is instructed by God on how to divide the inside of the tabernacle into two chambers. You're going to have an artisan who will make a partitioning curtain that's woven out of the same material as the lower cover of the Mishkan, of the tabernacle. You're going to have threads comprised of six strands of turquoise, purple, scarlet wool, and twined linen. And just like that cover, it's going to be made, Maisa Cheshev, the work of an artisan, Ya'aseh Oysa Kruvim. It'll be woven with a design of cherubim. They have the appearance of eagles on one side, as Rashi explains to us, and lions on the other. The curtain is going to be 10 cubits tall, 10 cubits wide, and a hand's breadth thick. That's one thick curtain. How's it going to hang? Verse 32, V'nasata oisa al arba amude shitim. You'll hang it on four acacia pillars, the same wood that's used for the boards of the Mishkan. These will be mitsupim zohov. They're going to be coated in gold. Vavehem zohov. The hooks are going to be gold. Al arba adnei chosef. They're going to be set into four bases of silver. And unlike the boards, which had two tenons on the bottom, these are only going to have one each. So it's slightly different from the rest of the boards, a little bit different dimensions. And that's how the curtain's going to be hung. Vinosata saporeches. Tachas HaKrosim. You'll position the curtain just one cubit due west under the clasps, the Hevesa Shomo, Mi Beis LaPareches, and then there on the inner side of the curtain you will bring as Aroin HaEdus, the Ark of Testimony. V'hivdilo HaPareches Lachem. This curtain will serve to separate for you between the outer chamber of the Mishkan and the inner chamber of the Mishkan. The outer chamber is called Kodesh, the holy chamber, and the inner chamber is called Kodesh HaKadoshim, the holy of holies. V'nasata sapareches al aroin ha'idus b'kodesh HaKadoshim. You will then place the cover. Remember that? With the cherubim, the gold cherubim, you'll place the cover on top of the Ark of Testimony in the Holy of Holies. And the Ark and its cover are going to be the only furnishings. Nothing else will exist in that Holy of Holies. And now that the Torah has told us how to divide the rooms and how to make a holy and a holy of holy, and the Torah told us what's going to be in the Holy of Holies in Kedesh HaKadoshim, in Aron HaEdos and Keruvim, there's going to be an Ark of Testimony that contains the Aseret HaDibrot and the gold cover with the big cherubim. The Torah now turns its attention from the Kodesh HaKadoshim to the Kodesh, to the Holy. V'samta es HaShulchan, you will place that gold table, which we spoke about earlier. So you'll place that table michutz laparoiches, outside of the curtain. V'yes HaMenoira, and the candelabrum, which we talked about also in great detail, will be noichach HaShulchan. We will be perfectly opposite, in perfect parallel to the Shulchan, and they will be Atzela HaMishkan Teimana. So it will be, meaning the menorah, on the south side of the tabernacle. As Rashi will tell us, it's 2.5 cubits from the south wall, and then going across the room to the north side, VaHashulchan Titein Atzela Tzofin. The table will be placed on the north side, and this too is going to be 2.5 cubits from the north wall. The entire area, of course, is 10 cubits wide, as we learned. And then there's, we hear about a third article that's going to be in the outer chamber, namely, that is the golden altar. The golden altar is set forward, but this is going to have a discussion later on. We don't talk about that. Now, all of this is in the back half of the actual area, which is called the Kodesh. It's all within 10 cubits long, 10 cubits long by 10 cubits wide. In this square, we have the menorah, the shulchan, and later on, we're going to talk about the golden table. So let's talk about this business with the menorah and the shulchan. the menorah, which is placed corresponding perfectly parallel to the shulchan. So why is it that we have to have the shulchan and menorah corresponding to each other? So the Sefarno says, this is keneged, this corresponds to oirech yomim biyamina. There's a pasuk that says that you have length of days on the right, and that refers to the Torah. The Torah is on the right of the Aron, not of the right of walking in, because you're facing west. So south is going to be on your left. However, if you were the Aron looking out, then the menorah would be on the right. So we say, oirech yomim, length of days, is biyamina, and that refers to the menorah. Chizkuni says that the or tamid, the continuous light, always comes from the south, especially on a delicious snowy day like we have today, and you think of how things are in the south, and you think of sun, and you think of fun, and you think of light, and then you come back to the dark snowy reality that's here. But anyway, that's like the south is related to light, and because south is light, menorah is light, that's why it goes on the south. All right, very nice. Let's hear what Rashi has to say about this pasuk. Verse 35, pasuk lamed hey, v'samta es hashulchan, you will place the table. So Rashi is going to tell us now, this is the order in which the furniture of the shulchan is arranged. Shulchan b'tzofein, the table is in the north, not right against the wall, but as I told you, mashuach min ha'kaisel ha'tzfeini, set forward from that northern wall, shtei ames u'mechza, 2.5 ames. And this way, of course, there's room for the Kohanim to walk when they have to place the showbread. If it was to be right against the wall, they wouldn't be able to walk there. So you have to be able to get around it. So there's room of 2.5 amot, which is a significant amount of space. An am is 18 inches. Figure it out. It's not a small amount of space, enough for a person to walk around. Now, Rashi goes on to say, Umenorah, but the candelabrum will be bedoraim. It'll be on the south. On the south, right against the wall? Nope. Mishucham in Akaisel. It'll be set forward from the wall, Hadreimi, from the south wall. This too, Shtei Ames U'Mechza. And Rashi says, from here we can learn that the table and the shulchan were exactly corresponding to each other and how much space was in between them. And we can also learn about that area, that hollow, that space in the middle, Mizbech HaZov, the golden altar, which was placed in the middle of the Mishkan, perfectly corresponding to the Aron, is Nosun Keneged Avir Shebein Shulchan Amaneira. That's placed in the space between the Shulchan on the north side and the Menorah on the left side. And it's Meshuach Kimaklapi Mizrach. It's not set actually in between. So you have Shulchan, Mizbeach, Menorah, but rather you have Shulchan, you have Menorah, and then set forward, that's where you have the Mizbeach Hazav, like a triangle. The Kulam and all of these, Nesunim min hachatzi ha-mishkan lefnim. The entire room is 20 amot long. They're all on the back half, which is 10 amot wide, or 10 amot long. Ketzad, oyrech ha-mishkan min ha-pescha le-pareches. The length of the mishkan from the door up to the curtain we started talking about today, esrim amot, that's 20 amos. Ha-mizbeach va-shulchan va-meneiro. These artifacts, the holy artifacts, altar table and candelabrum, mishuchim min ha-pesach letzad ma'irav eser amos. You first come into the area called Kodesh. There's an empty space of 10 amot set forward. And then after 10 amot begins the placement of these holy artifacts as we have discussed. So now we're going to learn about the shulchan and the menorah. That's what the psukim talk about. And we're going to find something very interesting. That this schematic of shulchan and menorah is actually relevant in today's day and age where you want to sit in shul, where you want to face. Because menorah on the north side and shulchan, menorah on the south side and, yes, and shulchan on the north, this has a lot to do with your mazel. And with your fortuitous blessings, the kind of blessings that you are going to be able to open and download for yourselves. Listen to this. Page Resh Chav Gimel. You may have to move spots. It may be too late for you. This is a Gemara. We begin with a quote from a Gemara in Maseches Bava Basra.
in the third tome of the three major Talmudic tomes, on page 25b, the Gemara makes the following surprising statement. Haroitze sheyachkim, if you want to get wise, yadrim. So kind of lean south. Sheyashir, if you want to get rich, yatspin, lean north. V'simanach, what's the simon? How do you know if moving south gives you wisdom and moving north gives you wealth? So he says, simple. Shulchan b'tzafayin, the gold table piled high with bread representing prosperity is on the north. And menera, the candelabra, which represents the light of Torah, b'dorim. All right, that's what the Gemara says. You figure out where you want to sit in shul. Now, lafi divrei chazal elu, according to these words of our sages,
you want both?
It doesn't say haroitze shtayim. This is the battle of the titans. You got to make up, what do you want? You want wealth or you want wisdom? I tell a little story of a rabbi who was in the middle of giving a sermon and a genie popped out of a bottle. Don't ask how the bottle got to him, why he had a bottle, but that's the story that's told. And the genie said, you have one wish, make it fast, you have 30 seconds. And the rabbi thought and thought and thought. And the genie says, 10 seconds left. You want wealth or you want wisdom? The rabbi's thinking, my whole life I pursued wisdom. Wisdom, he says, wisdom. The genie disappears in a flash, and there's a strange light that overcomes the rabbi, and the whole congregation is sitting there expectantly. And they said, Rabbi, Rabbi, now that you got wisdom, tell us something wise, something insightful. The rabbi thinks for a long time. He says, I should have taken the money. Lefi divrei chazal elu, the Rebbe's commentary begins according to these words of our sages. Sha'ashulchan mesamel es ha'oysher hagashmi, that the table is a paradigm for wealth. Lumenera and the candelabra mesameles is emblematic of chokhmas ha'teira, of the wisdom of teira, of course. Nitan levayer es das ha'rambam. The Rebbe said we might be able to explain something very unusual that the Rambam says. The Rambam writes this in Hilchos Beis HaBechira in the third chapter in the 12th halacha. The Rambam, very, very unusually, divides between the placement of the menorah and the placement of the shulchan. He says like this, according to the Rambam, the shulchan is oimid le'oirech ha'hechel. The shulchan is placed, it sits or it lies at the length, not at the width, at the length of the mishkan. And that means that its two ends, the shulchan was rectangle, of course, the two ends are mimizrach lemayrev, from east to west. The mishkan is a rectangle.
Right.
It's a rectangle, 30 amot long, 10 amot wide. That's a big time rectangle. On the west end is the Holy of Holies. On the east end is the screen, which we're going to talk about right after this, the next psukim, and the entrance. So the length of the Mishkan lies east-west. And he says the Shulchan should be placed east-west. The Shulchan is also a rectangle. So the Shulchan is placed east-west. The menorah does not have much depth to it, a lot of width to it, right? It's a candelabra. So he says that the menorah should be understood l'roichav ha'hechel, to the width of the hechel. This is the opinion of the Rambam. Many, many, many others disagree. And the Rambam says that therefore the menorah, at its longest, if you will, branch span, will be north-south. So the shulchan is east-west, the menorah is north-south. Between the west side and the east side, there's a difference of holiness. We learned, that's how we started learning today. We learned in the beginning that there was a side, or I should say a third, that was designated as the Holy of Holies. Which third was that? Which side was it on? The west. How about the east? The east is where you entered. So if somebody would say to you, what's the holiest side of this rectangle? What would the obvious answer be? The west side. What's the least holy of the holy? Well, the least holy is right when you come in. There's no Shulchan Menorah. It's just the empty area. So it goes in grades. It's a gradation from east to west. You're moving west. The closer you get to west, the closer you're coming to holiness. So, Kichol
Shehamakim.
The menorah isn't on the west any more than the Shulchan is on the west. The menorah was on the south side. The Shulchan was on the north side. Both were set back to the west. Both were set back. The Mizbeach is also set back to the west. The point we're making is that the Rambam says that the menorah was lying or sitting or laying or placed in the direction that it was.
East-west.
Not east-west. North-south. And the Shulchan was east-west.
That can't be, though, because then they're not parallel to each other.
No, they're not.
Well,
they're like this.
They're not going to be perfectly parallel anyway because they're not the same length.
No, I get that, but at least they would be parallel. Whereas,
well, the placement
right,
is parallel.
Then they're perpendicular.
They're not perpendicular in placement. They're perpendicular in the way they're laying.
Right.
But they are perfectly parallel to each other. If you had to draw an X on the ground, you'll be here, and an X on the ground. Yeah. So the two X's were perfectly, the epicenter of each one was perfectly parallel.
The Torah says they're facing each other. So
facing each other doesn't mean that they're exactly parallel. Placed the same way. Quite clearly, the Rambam says no.
Okay, all right.
It's a big chiddush. This is a Rambam thing, okay? But the Rebbe comes along all these years later, and this is part of a manuscript, a fascinating manuscript called Rishimus HaMenorah, the manuscript of the menorah, with many, 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 many pages of writing that the Rebbe authored in the early 30s, in which he discusses the menorah and the Beis HaMikdash. Fascinating insights. Many of them are very, very deep and nuanced and technical. So anyway, the point is, menorah lies
north-south.
Shulchan lies east-west. The Rebbe says, mishkanically speaking, what's the difference between east-west and north-south? Mishkanically speaking, east-west is a difference in holiness. North-south is no difference. It doesn't say the menorah is any holier than the Shulchan. The Aron is holier than the Shulchan and the menorah. But the menorah or Shulchan, one doesn't say is holier than the other. When we can, from here we can derive like this. Hashulchan sha'amad mi mizrach l'mayrov. The Shulchan which was placed east-west, it had levels of holiness. It had to have levels of holiness. Because the bread that was on the east side was further from
the west side
or from the Holy of Holies. Ilu ha-menorah, but the menorah which was not placed east-west, but the menorah that was placed north-south, so there was no light or no branch or no lamp that was any closer to the Aron Kodesh. Understand? Mm-hmm. In other words, Sharsa b'chol chalkei mida achidus shel kedusha. All seven lamps are equally sanctified. Not all 12 breads are, but all seven lamps are. Hasiba lekach, the reason. Shulchan misamel oisher gashmi. The table is a paradigm of material wealth. Well, but even klali, I say more broadly speaking, it represents our service to Hashem that is materially focused. Therefore, amad ha-shulchan, the shulchan has to stand, mimizrach l'mayrev, as if to say to you, kach sheyoyu havdelim b'kdushasei, not all material pursuit is equally holy. Some material pursuit is more sacred, more holy. All aren't perhaps necessary, because if it's not necessary, you shouldn't be doing it. But you cannot say that all material pursuit is equally important. And you certainly can say it's an equal on the level of devotion, and dedication to God. It depends according to what the person is doing and how much effort they're investing in it. However, when it comes to the menorah which represents the wisdom of Torah, You cannot say this part of Torah is holier than that part of Torah. You're studying this part of Torah. Ah, this is good. You must be very close to God. That part of Torah, this is like on the east end. It's not so holy. It's not so sacred. Kach shele yehoyu avdeilu mikdushasa. The menorah is placed south-north in a way that represents no distinction between its holiness. She came b'kedusha satayra ein hevdelim. In the holiness of Torah, you cannot make distinctions between dagar shenis. HaTorah, atayra hi tomid, tayris Hashem. The Torah is always God's Torah. Whether you're learning anochi Hashem alikecha or achos lutan timna, it doesn't make a difference which words of Torah. The Torah is the Torah is the Torah, equally holy. And that's a emet muchletet, it's absolute truth. The Torah is not negotiable, no portion of it. And therefore, Rambam says, the menorah, representing holiness and wisdom of Torah, would have to be placed, not east-west, representing a difference or grade in holiness, but rather south-north, representing all different candles, flames, branches, because all of them equally represent the absolute truth of Hashem, and all of them bring us close to Hashem, representing the Torah. And so as long as you're studying Torah...
Position in, as opposed to placement is very different.
I think the most important thing...
ahead of the holiest in the West, as opposed to wealth.
We don't hear that. We hear actually there has to be corresponding. And the Rebbe, on a different occasion, in the same manuscript says that you have to have it parallel because it says, HaChacham Nikar B'maisav, the Torah you study has to be reflected in the way you live your life. So the way your material pursuit is has to be reflective of the way you study Torah. A person can say, I study Torah, I'm very holy and shul. But you see me in the office. Oh, I'm a tiger. I'm a monster in the office. No good. Because our material pursuit has to parallel or mirror our spiritual pursuit. But in material pursuit, our levels of holiness. In Torah, all of it is seen as one and the same or as equal. And with this, we move forward.